This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
Talk about the quiet time or morning devotion or whatever you want to call that. And spending time with God in His Word. Sort of spending time with the Word in His Word. And so anyway, that's what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. And sort of three points, three main areas. The first is I'll try to discuss desire, the heart. Because we know that discipline, and certainly having a quiet time, takes discipline. Consistently, anyway. And discipline without desire is drudgery. It becomes a duty. And so anyway, then I'll be talking a little bit about how to get into the Word during the quiet time. And then finally, I'll finish up with some resources that I found particularly helpful to me. And so anyway, we'll get started on that. Why don't I just stop for a word of prayer first, okay? Father, you know everything about us. And that's scary. But yet we know enough about you to know that you love us. You have the very best planned for us. And I think a part of that plan of the very best is spending time with you. And so I earnestly pray this morning that as I discuss these things, that give me clarity as I speak and understanding in the hearts, because that's where it takes place. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The morning quiet time, consistently observed, is probably one of the most difficult practices for a lot of Christians today. We know we should, but at the end of the day, too often, we haven't stopped and carved out that time with God. And we lose an incredible opportunity to have fellowship with God. You know, the creator of the universe. He's sovereign in the truest sense of the word. He's majestic and holy, just and yet merciful, all-powerful and yet gentle, loving, gracious, patient, kind. He's our Redeemer and our Savior. What is wrong with us? You know, that ought to be the highlight of my day. Maybe one of the reasons Phil asked me to talk about this, I've been having a quiet time for almost 50 years. Yes, I know, that's longer than most of you have been alive. And I'll hear about it after this. But anyway, have I ever missed a day? Yeah. Lots of times. Occasionally I still do. You know, generally it's like when I'm traveling, my schedule gets changed around and, you know, something unexpected comes up or whatever. But I always, as quickly as possible, get back to that routine. And I really struggled having a consistent quiet time early on. As I recall, it probably took me at least 2 to 3 years of just really concentrated effort of trying and failing and trying again before I seemed to be making any progress. Now, hopefully that's not a turnoff for some of you, because it's worth it. Anything important in life is worth it. This pales in an example, but for instance, Adam didn't become a competitive fisherman because at 6 years old he tried it and it didn't seem to work. He didn't get the biggest one in the pond. But he had a desire and he kept after it. And he's pretty good today. And so this is what it's going to take. You know, I was far from an overnight success in this thing. And like I said, there's still times challenge for me. Now, if authority alone was needed for observing a morning quiet time, you know, the writings and examples of men of God through the ages would do the trick. But I think the practice of our Lord Jesus himself, who, as the scripture says, rising up a great while before day, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. That should be sufficient evidence of the supreme importance to us. Now, again, I found by experience that it's one thing to be convinced of the necessity of forming this habit, and quite another to actually do it. Well, that's my life story on a lot of the spiritual disciplines. Well, how do we do this? You know, how do we get out of the Romans 7? You know, we want to do good, but we don't. How do we go about it? Well, as with most anything else in the Christian life, it's a heart issue. A heart issue. You know, we're all busy people. And here's where the heart issue comes in. Because people are going to do what people want to do. That is a fact of life. I can't find it in a verse anywhere else that says that, but I found it to be true. And why is that? Well, because I said at the beginning, discipline without desire is drudgery. And too many of us think of a quiet time or things like that as duty. That's something I do to please God or so I can become holy. And we're missing the whole point. So how do we change our wishing to wanting, as in earnestly desiring? You know, how do we become like the psalmist in Psalm 63? And I'll just read a couple of verses here. It says, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. And so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. I'll be honest with you. I rarely desire God like David does here. Sometimes, true confession, good thing this is my last year in leadership, you might get rid of me anyway. Sometimes my sin is more real to me than God is because of where I am. And this is where prayer comes in. Just like Tom talked last week. Not just prayer, but intense, fervent, earnest prayer that cries out to God, for God. That's what we've got to desire, folks. And, you know, if you struggle with this, as I have many times, I mean, I just didn't finally, after a couple of years, it started. No. Still had struggles. Sometimes it's good to examine our hearts. You know, ask ourselves questions. There's nothing wrong with that. And quite honestly, we need to ask ourselves these questions because while we should probably, for most of us, our family and our friends aren't going to ask these questions. Do I take time daily to worship God and thank Him for all His blessings to me? You know, an ungrateful heart doesn't worship. You know, there's some cherished sin or some practice that I'm unwilling to give up. You know, that hinders my worship. Well, an independent spirit is not going to worship. Do I seek to enter wholeheartedly into worship, like this morning, and have genuine interaction with other believers at church? Or do I simply go through the motions? Another Sunday morning, I'm doing church. Well, a complacent spirit doesn't worship either. Now, none of us, especially me, not going to score perfect on these questions. And that's not the intent of the questions. Rather, they're designed to help us to honestly assess our hearts and pinpoint areas of our lives that need improvement. And if we are intentional about these things, we'll settle for a mediocre Christian walk rather than experiencing all that God has planned for us. We'll just be content again with doing church. S.D. Gordon, some of you have read some of his book, Quiet Time on Prayer, Quiet Talks on Prayer, excuse me, Quiet Times on My Mind here. He tells about a group of people preparing to climb the highest mountain in the Swiss Alps. I'll probably mispronounce his Mount Blanc, and anyway, in France. And on the evening before the climb, the French guide was outlining the prerequisite for successful reaching the top. And he told the group, "You're only going to reach the top by taking just the necessary equipment for climbing and leaving all the unnecessary accessories. This is a very difficult climb." Now, a young Englishman in the group apparently disagreed. Next morning, he shows up with a rather colored blanket, some large pieces of cheese, bottle of wine, a couple of cameras, several lenses hanging around his neck, and the essential, several bars of chocolate. The guide said, "You'll never make it with that. You can only take the bare necessities to make the climb." But the Englishman set off on his own in front of the group to prove to him he could do it. Well, then the group followed under the direction of the guide and with just the bare necessities. And on the way up to the summit, they began to notice several things that had been left behind. First was the heavy blanket. Then some pieces of cheese, a bottle of wine, camera equipment, and finally, chocolate bars. And when he reached the top, they discovered that he was there only after jettisoning everything in the process. And then S.D. Gordon makes this application to the Christian life. He said, quote, "So many people, when they find they can't make it to the top with all their accessories, they let the top go and pitch their tent in the plain. And the plain is very full of tents." Unquote. So you understand what he's saying here. Too many of us, me included, settle for occasional time with God, because we're unwilling to give up something infinitely less valuable. We pitch our tent in the plain rather than on the mountaintop. So that's sort of the attitude to take in here as far as desiring to spend time with God. I'd like to talk a little bit about actually spending time with God in His Word. And last week when Tom spoke to us, he talked about this survey that they took, and they asked people, you know, what was the major things that helped your spiritual growth and everything. And it revealed that the number one thing that helped Christians grow more spiritually mature was reading and reflecting on the Word of God. Now, we know how, you know, how to get into the Word, most of us. I mean, I'm talking to folks here that some of you have been around quite a while. And I know that you're in the Word. But it's good to just review, you know, that, you know, we find God in His Word. It's how He's chosen to reveal Himself to us. And we know that, you know, there are several different ways of having intake of the Word. You know, the old hand illustration, some of you remember that. The little finger is hearing the Word of God. Next finger is reading the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. Now, and remember when they told it to us, it's always likened to actually trying to hold the Bible. And with three fingers, you can pick it up. The next finger is memorization, memorizing Scripture. Well, now, you know, unless you've got a big study Bible, you know, you can pretty much pick that sucker up. But the thumb. And the thumb is what makes everything really work for us, doesn't it? That's meditation. And that's what we can do in our quiet time so that, you know, that taking the time to meditate on what we're reading here will engage our hearts and our minds. You know, in my opinion, meditation is to spending time in the Word like chocolate sheet cake is to a meal. I mean, I get engaged, my heart and my mind, and it becomes a meeting of meaning then with God. For example, and I was just trying to think of, you know, some quick examples I could use here, but I remember spending some time in Psalm 19, and I'm not going to get into the whole Psalm this morning, but I'll just read three verses, 7, 8, and 9, and six statements about Scripture. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether." Now, some mornings you read that and you say, okay. Or maybe you're thinking out there right now, okay, yep, got it. What's next? But notice, each of these statements said what? Of the Lord, 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 six times. Why? Because Scripture comes from God. It's the Word of God. Now, we do a little bit more thinking on this. We don't just move on. We think, okay, there's six titles for Scripture here. It's called law, testimony, precepts, commandment, fear, and judgment. There's also six characteristics of Scripture here. It's perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. And then there's six benefits of Scripture here. It says it restores the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. It endures forever and produces comprehensive righteousness. Now this is a great summation of the full sufficiency of the Word. Here is God's own Word concerning His Word. Now, when I start seeing things like that, I get excited. And I haven't even gotten into the Word meanings yet and the implications that are going to be drawn out from that. And that's just three verses. I know the elders have gotten away a couple of times to study and work through a passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, one time we did it with the deacons as well, as I recall. With Jim Eliff and Cole Farney. You know, they both fill the pulpit here, Cole a number of times. And, you know, these sessions have really been beneficial. And we always see things in Scripture that we hadn't seen before. You know, Jim's up there asking questions and getting us to think about things maybe we hadn't thought about, or, you know, and everything. And then everyone's feeding off everyone else. And, you know, memorizing and meditating on scriptures, especially with others, is always going to reap benefits and reap rewards and enhance our spiritual growth. And I always come away from those sessions renewed and refreshed. A few months ago, I was sort of in a funk, lack of a better term. I just wasn't excited about anything spiritual, it seemed. How do you like your elder saying something like that? I wasn't consciously rebellious about anything that I recall, or depressed. The juices just weren't flowing. You ever felt like that? Feel like that today? Phil, around this time, asked the elders to memorize 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11, and meditate on it. Because it deals with elders praying for one another and different things like that. And so I did that. Took me several days to memorize those verses, and then I reviewed them every day. And there, in your bulletin insert, there's on one side of the page is how to memorize scripture. And once you memorize a verse or a passage, you review it several days. But anyway, as I reviewed these and thought about them, I realized I was gradually coming out of this funk. Because again, I was memorizing and meditating on the Word of God. And, you know, God has given us promises associated with His Word. And I firmly believe that His Word in our hearts can improve our mental and emotional states. And no, your spouse doesn't need to start doing that now. It's you, okay? But anyway, does this mean that my life is going to go smoothly if I memorize Scripture and meditate on it? By no means, no. That's not what God has promised us. Not God's goal for us to have a smooth life. But spending time with God in His Word will help conform us to the image of Christ and can accomplish in us what is needed to become mature believers in Christ. And that is a goal that God has for us. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not real good about seeing the sin in my heart and my life sometimes. Now, I can see it in every one of you. But in me, I seem to be oblivious. But the Scriptures exposes everything in our hearts. You know, looking again back at Psalm 19 and verses 12 and 13, the psalmist says, "Acquit me of hidden faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I'll be blameless and acquitted of great transgression." It goes on in verse 14, and many of us know this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So here we see David praying for wisdom and guidance regarding his words and his thoughts. We need to do that, don't we? Well, what are acceptable words, and what is an acceptable meditation that David is praying for here? Well, I think the answer is in Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Now that's an acceptable meditation. So what you're thinking about and what you're talking about ought to be what? The Word of God. Another great passage is Philippians 4:8. You know, it said, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell or think on these things." You know, do you want a flourishing, spiritually fruitful life? I think just about everyone here does. Then let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in God's sight. And what is acceptable in God's sight is that your thoughts and your words are biblical and are biblically motivated. You know, this doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't think and talk and act biblically just by being around Christians who do. You have to spend quality time with the Lord, immersed in His Word, and thinking about how it should impact your thinking, how it should impact the circumstances you're dealing with, and your whole life. So, we need to desire, earnestly desire this time with God. We need to meditate and think on what we're reading. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I want to spend the rest of my time this morning talking about some resources that and things that have been helpful to me over the years of maintaining a consistent time with God and time in His Word. I want to give a little disclaimer here, because as I get into it, it can appear like, well, this is just someone who just makes up their mind and does something. And folks, I know that some of you are much better at that even, you know, than I am. You know, you just make up your mind, this is the way I'm going to do it and get it done. But let me tell you, it's all by grace. It's all by grace. You wouldn't be here this morning apart from grace. Anyway, probably the one thing or attitude that's helped me the most in having a consistent quiet time is not to try to decide on a daily basis whether or not to have one. That decision has already been made. I just do it. That's the way it is with anything important in life. You don't wake up every morning and decide whether or not you still want to be married to your spouse. If you are, come talk to me. But just about anything important, you know. Benjamin doesn't decide every morning whether or not he's going to go to work. And if he can't decide, Jandy will help. You know. But, now I didn't come up with this on my own. When I was in my early 30s and we were living in Wichita, we were involved in the lay ministry of the Navigators over there. And each fall, they hosted a fall conference. And this one year, I happened to be the conference coordinator. And so one of my responsibilities was to assist the conference speaker, who that year happened to be Lauren Sanney, who was president of the Navigators, just with whatever was needed, just make sure his day went well. And anyway, the local newspaper wanted to interview him. And so I sat in on the interview. And now I'll just sort of give you the scenario here. Lauren has already spoken once. This is probably during a workshop or lunchtime. And he's got to speak two more times yet in the afternoon. His jaw is swollen because he's dealing with a bad toothache. He doesn't want to get too heavy on the medication so he can be coherent. And so being interviewed is probably not his favorite thing to do right then. And however, you know, he was gracious and very patient with the reporter. And I remember that as Lauren was explaining how he went about various spiritual disciplines and everything, that as he is talking about, you know, he gets up early to have his quiet time, and the reporter stopped him and said, well, what if you don't feel like getting up? Lauren replied, well, I guess I don't think about it. I just get up. So then he went on talking about, and he started talking about reading the, you know, you normally go in, grab a cup of coffee, go in and chair and start reading the Bible. Again, the reporter said, but what if you don't feel like reading the Bible? I remember Lauren just smiled and said, well, I start reading it anyway. And in a few minutes, I feel like reading it. Because that's the impact the Bible has on me. See, the decision in his mind had already been made. He wasn't having to decide every morning whether or not he needed to get up early. He didn't ask himself if he felt like reading his Bible. The decision had been made. And that, folks, is 90% of it right there. We do that in other areas of our life. No reason why we can't do it here. But anyway, I'll mention a few other things that have been personally very helpful to me through the years. Having a set time. Now, I recognize not everyone can do it of a morning. That, in my opinion, is the best time if you possibly can. But if you can't, you know, having a set time and also a place, unless you're on the road or, you know, out of town or whatever, someone else's house, have a set time and a set place to have that quiet time. And there's two less decisions you have to make then every day. Keep a journal. This was especially helpful to me when I was going through some rough patches in my life. Those who've known me a long time know that I've probably been keeping a journal a lot. but it helped me to stay focused. Your mind ever wander, especially when you start trying to pray of a morning? I have to really watch that. And writing things down really helped me to stay on target and everything. And going back and looking at some of my entries, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I did a lot of whining. I mean, I read these entries and, you know, I was crying out to God about this in my life or that in my life. And what's the deal here, you know? I just don't understand what's going on. But yet, what was encouraging about the majority of those entries is that I would always end up, though, praising God and reiterating my trust and my faith in Him. If you read some of the Psalms, that's the way David does. You know, God, where are you? What is going on here? But he'd always end up coming back and humbling himself before God. And so a journal is really helpful in that regard. I like variety in my quiet times. The format remains pretty much the same, but I've used bunches of different devotionals through the years. There's just so many good ones out there. I'm just going to talk about a few things that I just find myself coming back to. For instance, and obviously, the Bible is the main one, okay? But the Valley of Vision, it's a book of Puritan prayers. Now, the good news is they're not Puritan writings, which can go on forever. But Puritan prayers, these are men of God who, these prayers have been accumulated by a guy by the name of Arthur Bennett, who wrote the Valley of Vision prayer. And so anyway, I go through the Valley of Vision year in, year out. I remember John MacArthur talking about that years ago, that was probably one of the most influential books in his life. And these are just one-page prayers by godly men. If you're like me, it might help to have your phone with the dictionary app. Because these guys use some words that we don't use anymore. But again, that has enhanced my prayer time. Why? Because I'm looking up what these words mean and it draws this out. You know, actually be thinking during this quiet time and everything. So anyway, Valley of Vision is excellent. Table Talk magazine. We got that back in the information booth. I've probably been using Table Talk for 25 years, maybe longer, 30, I don't know, but a long time. They have very good articles in them. Their daily Bible studies are very good. And it's a free resource to you, right back here. Jerry Bridges, I go by authors. I like certain guys that they just seem to speak to my heart. Jerry Bridges is someone that always challenges me in my worship of God. And I remember talking to a pastor out at Shepherd's Conference one time that was on staff there at Grace Community Church. And I asked him about one of the Jerry Bridges' books, and he said, oh, yeah. He said, when Jerry Bridges writes a book, we get on our knees to read it because he's that good. But he has, several devotionals, and he's got a trilogy of little booklets. You want to know how to pray Scripture and praise God and adore Him and your prayers. Three little books. Each one of them is 31 days of glorifying and praising. They're called I Exalt You, O God, I Will Follow You, O God, and I Give You Glory, O God. They're all there in your inserts. But just excellent for teaching you, if you don't know already, how to pray Scripture back to God. A.W. Tozer is an older author that, again, you can hardly read his works without being put in a mindset of worship. Paul Tripp, for me, really gives great insights into my sinful heart. I love his illustrations, many of which are petty. I'm a petty person. I identify with that, I get ticked off for really insignificant things. But Paul Tripp, I know some of you have gone through his New Morning Mercies devotional. It's just excellent. He's also got an excellent devotional out on Psalm 51 called Whiter Than Snow. And then a little booklet called Quiet Time by InterVarsity staff. It's there in your insert. Now, you have to be careful because InterVarsity has a couple, three little booklets called Quiet Time by individual authors. But this one, just called Quiet Time, is by the InterVarsity staff. So it's different people contributing. The booklet's been out a number of years, and this is very helpful, especially if you are looking to really get started on having a quiet time, or maybe you want to sort of spice up your quiet time a little bit, maybe get a new idea or something. This is just a little bitty thin thing, but it's just packed full of just excellent material and everything. So anyway, like I said, they're there on your bulletin inserts. There's abundance of resources out there by Piper, Joe Thorne, Milton Vincent, a bunch of, and again, if you're feeling sort of awkward with it and everything and not quite sure how to start, talk to Pastor Phil or myself. I'd be more than happy to visit with you. Okay. As I mentioned, there's two things that are always going to be a part of my quiet time. That's time in the Word, that's the Bible, not as good as these other things are, the Bible is number one, and then prayer. It's God speaking to me through His Word, the Holy Spirit, using the Scriptures and working my heart, and then me praying back to God. And many times, what I pray for, my family, you folks, came comes from the Scripture that I read that morning, or maybe from the Valley of Vision prayer, rather than God bless Jane, God bless Ron and Don, etc. No, I pray specifically this spiritual thing into their lives, and that way my prayers are apt to be a little bit more biblical, and not just focus entirely on the physical and the material. Now, they are important. The physical and material are very important to us. That's where we live, right? We're physical beings. But praying along this line helps the prayers to be a little bit more interesting, if you will, and probably a lot more interesting to God than the traditional God bless so-and-so. Yesterday in our prayer booklet, Jared Wilson says, what I want is to truly know Jesus, to be actual friends with Jesus. We don't get that way by happenstance. We get that way by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We get this by listening to God, time in His Word, and spilling our guts. Prayer. He says to get off the treadmill of religion. So, rather this morning dwelling on why we don't think we can do these things, why don't we prayerfully consider why we should, and then just do them by God's grace. Remember I said it's all by God's grace. You know, ask for help from God. Get together with a Christian friend. You know, you can pray for one another, you can encourage one another, you can hold one another accountable. You know, some of us need that extra push that accountability brings to the table. But ultimately, rely on God's grace. It's marvelous, it's free, and as one book says, it truly is amazing. You know, God's grace is all around us. We don't think about that. I remember reading, I think maybe it was in Pipeline, reading a couple of months ago, there's just two younger fish swimming around in the ocean or whatever. They're swimming along and this older fish comes by. Say, what's up, boys? How's the water? Keeps on going. One younger fish looks at the other one and says, what's water? You know, it's what he was living in. He's immersed in it, all around him. And that's sometimes, I think, the way grace is with us. God is so generous with His grace. You know, we all know we've been saved by grace. We were chosen before the foundation of the world by grace. He shows us His grace and providence in His provision for us. It's grace that we have fellowship with Christ. It's grace that we are given any comfort. Church. You know, it's grace that we have one another here. And it's grace that we have a hope of future glory with Him. So, in this, you know, we need to develop, by grace, this desire for God. We need to actually think and meditate on His Word while we're with Him. We need to pray earnestly to Him. I'd like to close this morning with a prayer from the Valley of Vision. And as, you know, we close this week of prayer, I hope, and you'll pick up the sequence as I go through it, but I hope this prayer will be descriptive of each of our times in prayer in the coming months and years. So as I close, just please pray with me, okay? O Lord, in prayer, I launch far out into the eternal world, and on that broad ocean, my soul triumphs over all the evils on the shore of mortality. In prayer, I see myself as nothing. I find my heart going after You with intensity and long with impassioned thirst to live for You. In prayer, all things here below vanish, and nothing seems important but the holiness of heart and salvation of others. In prayer, all my worldly cares, fears, anxieties disappear and are of as little significance as a puff of wind. In prayer, my soul inwardly exults with lively thoughts at what you're doing for your church. In prayer, I am lifted up above the frowns and flatteries of life and taste heavenly joys. Entering into the eternal world, I can give myself to you with all my heart to be yours forever. In prayer, I can place all my concerns in your hands, to be entirely at your disposal, having no will or interest of my own. In prayer, I can intercede for my friends, pastors, sinners, the church, your kingdom to come, with greatest freedom, fervent hopes, as a son to his father, as a lover to the beloved. Help me to be all prayer and never cease to pray. Amen.